Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Messages. We are bombarded with them every day in the news from people. And how do you know which messages are true? How do you know which messages to believe? Some of them are fairly obvious, fairly evident right away that this person's just trying to steal my money. Someone comes on the phone and wants to fix your computer, and it's pretty clear right away that they're not really who they claim to be. Other messages are more difficult, more challenging, may even have the appearance of being spiritual, of being from God. How do we know if a message is from God or not? My parents tell the story of a young man they knew who told the woman he wanted to marry that God had spoken to him and told him that he had to marry her. And this woman didn't feel like marrying this man, yet she felt compelled, convicted by this message from God that she needed to marry this man. How do we know if a message is from God or not? Perhaps these messages come to us through books we read or speakers we hear. The message sounds good, it sounds right in a sense, but we're not sure completely if that is actually right, if that is actually true, if that is actually from God or not. Perhaps it's a leading we have in our own hearts. We think there's a good idea we have and we want to follow it, but we're not quite sure. Is this God's Spirit? Is this His message, or is it from someone else? And all these questions, what we're talking about really is the issue of discernment. We need discernment to know when a word, when a speaker, when a message is really from God, is really speaking the truth from God, or is in fact speaking from something else, something that's not of God. And to this question of how to discern the Spirit's speaking, discern the Spirit's messages that God's Word leads us this morning. So before we go further, let's just pray together. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word to us. I want to thank you for, particularly this morning, for the fathers in our midst. Thank you for raising them up to nurture their families. Thank you for the mothers. Thank you for the work you've given them to do. And would you encourage fathers in particular to lead well and to follow you, to give their children the truth so they can grow up to be men and women of God. And Father, would you guide us in your word this morning? Thank you for leading us as the good Father. And would you give us understanding hearts so that we can hear what you're saying to us, your children. Thank you, Father, what you're going to do in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. John is writing to believers towards the end of the first century, perhaps in the 80s or 90s AD. And he's encouraging them. He's admonishing them. He wants them to know about the spiritual life they have. He wants them to know about the relationship they have with God. And in particular, he's going to draw these hearers' attention to the fact that they have the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 3, verse 24, the last verse in that chapter, John says, "We know by this that he, that God, abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." We know we're the children of God. We know we can call God Father. We know we have a relationship with him because he's given us his Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at some of the ways the Spirit works in our hearts and lives over the course of these past weeks. But it's interesting what John turns to next. He's talking to believers, people who have the Holy Spirit within them, and he finds it necessary to give them a caution, to give them an important reminder. Chapter 4, verse 1, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So John is here talking to believers in Christ. He's talking to people like us who have put our faith in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He calls them beloved. He's speaking to people who have the Holy Spirit living in them. And he says, you have to be careful, beloved, that you do not believe every spirit. And what John is affirming here is that there is more than one spirit at work in this world. when we find the Spirit talked about in the pages of Scripture, very often that word Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit of God, but on a number of occasions it refers to another spirit. We saw in our study of Mark, Jesus frequently interacting with evil spirits, with spirits that are not from God. Not all that is spiritual, John is saying, is from God. Do not believe every spirit. One of the dangers in our day, in any day, is that people in their pursuit of spiritual experiences, in their excitement over spiritual realities, one of the dangers we experience is that people may actually find what they're looking for. People may actually become deeply involved with spirits, and these spirits will not necessarily be of God. And perhaps you know of individuals who have become enslaved in that way. John is here writing to believers, to people like us, and he warns them in their desire for and in their appreciation of spiritual things, in their knowledge that they have the Holy Spirit working in them, they must take care that they do not believe every spirit. Rather, John says, test the spirits. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, this is an admonition we see again and again in Scripture. Paul will tell the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He will tell them, he'll say, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. He's saying to these Christians, you know, the Spirit is working in your midst. Don't quench him. Don't resist him. Don't shut him down. Don't quench the Spirit. But then he goes on to say this, but test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form or every appearance of evil. So don't quench the Spirit. We need the Spirit to be working in us mightily, but test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. And we do that, don't we, in everyday life. We test things. We sample foods. We're picking weeds. We're going to test. We're going to see, are these real weeds? Are these real flowers? We don't want to pick the wrong things. We test things. We've got to see if these things, these spirits, are really from God. And why is that important? John tells us in 1 John 4, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many individuals inspired not by the Holy Spirit, but inspired by these false spirits, have gone out and are spreading messages that are not from God. Now, this wasn't a new thing in John's day. In fact, we can go back to relatively early in the Scriptures and find God warning his people against such false prophets. In particular, in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells his people, he gives his people some tests to test the prophets. So in Deuteronomy 18, God tells his people that if a prophet brings a message in God's name, and what that prophet declares does not come to pass. So if a prophet comes and says, I speak in the name of God, and I'm going to say that that mountain is going to be moved. And if the mountain is not moved, then God says, well, you know that prophet's not for me. You don't listen to his message. He's not from God. What he said did not come to pass. But even more revealing is the test God gives in Deuteronomy 13. In Deuteronomy 13, God tells his people that a prophet or dreamer of dreams may arise, and he'll give the people a sign or a wonder which will come true, which will come to pass. And so people might think, great, he must be from God, but God tells his people in Deuteronomy 13, even if the sign or wonder which the prophet predicted comes to pass, and if that prophet uses that sign or wonder as a proof that people should go after other gods, God says, you're not to listen to that prophet. He is not speaking from me. He is a false prophet. He's leading my people astray. So God even allows the possibility that someone who speaks in his name may even have power. He may even do things that seem extraordinary. That is not a safe test, God says. What does he say? What is his message? Is he leading you to me or is he leading you from me? In the New Testament, in Mark 13, Jesus will warn his followers against false Christs and false prophets who will arise, who will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Jesus says these prophets will come and they'll be able to do extraordinary things. They're going to try to even make God's people go astray. So John here says, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so the question we as the people of God need to ask is, how do we test the spirits? How can we discern whether people claiming to speak on God's behalf are really from him? Clearly, their ability to perform something great is not proof in and of itself. And we know that these prophets don't go around with dark robes and twitching eyes and trying to get you to eat a poisoned apple. How do we test the spirits? How do we know whether they're from God? And in what follows, John is going to give his hearers essentially three tests they can use to help discern when someone is really speaking from God, as led along by his Holy Spirit, or whether they're speaking from another spirit, a spirit that is not from God. John writes, 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then he gives the first test, verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." The first test John gives, if we want to give it a name, we could call it the Christ test. The Christ test. John says, when a prophet or a spokesperson brings a message, when he comes to you claiming to be spiritual and worthy of your attention, when he gives you some idea, some teaching, the first thing you must ask is, what does this prophet, what does this spokesperson, what does this message say concerning Jesus Christ? That question is at the heart of the discernment process. We cannot emphasize it enough. Scripture's authors mention it again and again. We saw it some weeks back when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will always magnify and exalt Christ. We saw this last week, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's only by the Spirit of God that people say Jesus is Lord. The Spirit causes people to bend the knee to Jesus Christ. Again and again, the test of the authenticity of the Spirit's work in our lives is what the Spirit has to say about Jesus. Does he speak rightly of Jesus? Does he cause us to look at and to submit to and to love Jesus? And that's from God. If he doesn't, then that's a spirit that is not from God. Here in particular, John says that the spirit that is truly from God will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, will confess the truth of the incarnation. And it seems there may have been those in John's day who were trying to teach that Jesus didn't really become human. God didn't really take on human form in the person of Jesus Christ. Whatever the case may have been, John affirms that if a spirit confesses Jesus has come in the flesh, that spirit is from God. If a spirit does not confess Jesus, that spirit is not from God. Rather, that's the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit that tries to take Christ's place, and that spirit is already at work in the world. I received a phone call a few months ago. This was from an individual I did not know. I do not know. This individual told me he wanted to ask a question. But as the conversation got going, I realized he didn't really want to ask a question. He wanted to have make an argument. And this individual claimed to be, indeed seemed to be, very learned in the scriptures. He claimed to be had studied Hebrew for years. He was quoting scriptures left and right. But he was trying to argue, at the heart of it, was quite simply the fact that Jesus was not God. That he was not one with the Father. That he was in some sense lesser, in some sense inferior. And this man had sought to marshal persuasive-sounding arguments. He was confident in his knowledge of the scriptures. He was adamant that he was right and that I should listen to him. But his message was not from God. It failed the Christ test. The spirit which he spoke was not the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we seek to test the spirits in our lives, as we listen to messages, we have to ask, first of all, what does this individual, what does this message say about Jesus Christ? Does it present him as he truly is, as he is truly worthy? Does it exalt him? Or does it tend to cause us to turn our eyes away from Jesus, to put other things in place of Christ in our lives? So John says, apply this test as you seek to discern the spirits. That's the first test. Now what he said at this point may tend to trouble us. So here we are, we're in this world, and there's these false prophets all over the place, and they're bringing these bad messages, and how can I discern the Spirit? How can I do this work? And so what John says next is an encouragement for all of us. John says in verse 4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Isn't that great? John says, yes, believers in Christ, you need to exercise caution, you need to test the spirits, but you don't need to be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear. In fact, we have every reason to be confident because we are from God, we who have put our faith in Christ. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us is greater, no matter how powerful the other spirits may seem, how alluring these prophets may be in the messages they bring. John says, you have overcome them. You have not been led away from Christ because of the one within you. He is greater than the one in the world. So don't be afraid, John tells these little children in this letter. Don't be afraid, little children, he says. You are from God, little children. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You need to be encouraged by that. So after encouraging these believers about the spirit they have, John goes on to present another test, actually two more tests, ways that God's people can test the Spirit's work in their lives. Verse 4, start there. He says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, verse 5. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the first test John has given we might call the Christ test. But now he's going to expand on this test and give a couple more. He says in verse 5 of these prophets, these false prophets, he says, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. The question we have to ask is, who are these speakers listening to? Who are they listening to? John says, for these false prophets, they are from the world, they speak as from the world. It's like these false prophets, they get their message from the world. They go to the world, they ask you, what do you want to hear? And then that's what they start proclaiming, what the world wants to hear. Paul tells Timothy about last days when people will come and just will speak messages to those who have itching ears. He'll just tell them what they want to hear. These prophets are listening to the world. Contrast that in verse 6 with what John says. He says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. So John's second test of the spirits here, how we can discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error, he says, he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John is asking, who are they listening to? Who is this speaker? Who is this message? Who is this individual listening to? Are they listening to the world, or are they listening to us? John speaking for himself and his fellow writers, the apostles. Are they listening to the world, or are they listening to us? If they're from God, they will listen to us. Now, if you think about it, that sounds like a very arrogant thing for John to say. You want to tell what the spirit of truth is? Well, listen to me. He's talking to you right now. If I was to stand up here and say that, if anyone here was to tell you that this morning, that, you know, if you belong to God, you'll listen to me, and this is how you can discern the Spirit's voice if you're listening to me, if someone ever says that to you, you should run away as fast as you can, okay? Because that's dangerous. And that's what John is saying here. He's saying, if you're of God, if the Spirit of truth is actually speaking to you, you will listen to what I'm saying. How can John do that? How can he get away with that? And of course, the reason is that John understands that what he is speaking here, what he is writing, is not merely his words. This is not some homespun wisdom from John, a practical compilation of helpful tips for Christian living. This worked out for me. You give it a try. No, John recognizes that he is speaking the very word of God. As we saw some weeks ago, the Spirit inspires the authors of Scripture to write the very words of God. That's why he can say, if you are of the Spirit, if you are listening to the Spirit of truth, you will be listening to what we are writing to you, what we are saying to you. So the test is really simple. Is the speaker listening to Scripture, to God's words? Or is this individual listening to the world, to what it has to say? This is, you might say, the Scripture test. The Scripture test. It's an expansion on the Christ test. So first of all, what do they say about Christ? But more than that, what did they do with the rest of Scripture? Are they listening to us, John says? If they're from God, they're going to be listening to us, these prophets, they're really from God. They're going to be hearing what we are saying. One of a man I highly respect and has just recently passed away, R.C. Sproul. He was a Bible teacher for over 50 years. And he was asked at one point what he would like to be remembered for. And this is what he said. This was his answer. He said, "Fidelity to the Word of God. That's what I would like to be known for. I don't know of a single idea that I've ever had that was in any way original. If there's any point at which I have departed from historic Christian orthodoxy, that's to my shame, because I never wanted to be an innovator. I didn't want to come up with something new and different in the kingdom of God. It's all there in the Word. And woe be to me or anybody else who wants to improve on the Word of God." So I've always wanted to be boringly orthodox and to be remembered for that. That's the spirit of truth speaking. What are these teachers? Who are they listening to? Are they listening to Scripture? That's how we discern the spirit of truth. Now, not only do these spirit teachers have to say, "Well, I believe in the Bible," but their lives should, of course, be changed by the Bible. We should see the fruit of that in their actions. Jesus said that you will know false prophets by their fruits, by how they're living their lives. So if a person is listening to Scripture, if they're listening to the Word of God, if their life is being changed by it, that is the Scripture test. We must test the spirits. What do they say about Christ? Are they listening to the words of Scripture? So John has given his hearers two tests by which we may discern the spirits working in our lives and in our world. Do they confess Christ? Do they listen to us? Do they listen to the authors of Scripture? But there's something else here. There's a third test we see in these last two verses we've just read. Look with me again at verses 5 and 6. John, speaking of these false teachers, he says, "They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." What's John saying here? On the one hand, he's saying you have to ask who these teachers are listening to. But at the same time, we have to ask who is listening to these teachers. Who is listening to these teachers? Do you see that? John makes the point in verse 5 that the world listens to the false teachers. The world as a whole listens to the false prophets, listens to the spirit of the Antichrist. The world as a whole is not led by the Spirit of God. So we can identify, in a sense, a false prophet based on who is listening to them. Is the world as a whole listening to this teaching? Is the world as a whole on board with this idea? That is a good indication that the spirit of error is behind it. Contrast that with the true teachers in verse 6. John says, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us." Who listens to the true teachers according to verse 6? He who knows God. The people of God as a whole are listening to Scripture, to what the apostles are saying. So a good way to discern the spirit of truth, to discern whether a teaching or message is from God, is to ask the question, are the people of God, those who really know God, are they as a whole listening to this message? We might call this the test of community. The test of community. What am I getting at here? Sometimes in our lives, I've experienced it in my life, I might apply the Christ test. I might hear a message or hear someone speaking of something or have an idea in my own heart, something I should do. And I'll say, well, is this for Christ? And, well, it kind of seems to be, I guess. And is this disagree with Scripture? Well, I don't think so, but I'm not really sure. John gives us a third test to use. We'll call it the community test. It's essentially asking the question, who else is listening to this message? If the world as a whole is listening to the message, then that's probably the spirit of error behind it. But if the people of God as a whole are listening to this message, then it probably has the spirit of truth behind it. So when I don't know if this is good or bad, true or false, I have to ask, who else is listening to this? Is the world listening to it, or are other mature believers as a whole who know their God listening to it? So we have to ask other believers, what do you think of this message? What do you think of this teacher? What do you think of this idea? Ask people who clearly value the Scriptures. whose lives are bearing good fruit, who take Jesus Christ and his word seriously? Are these people buying into the speaker, this message, this idea? We apply the community test. As the proverb says, in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Not to say that a Christian can't make a mistake or isn't sometimes wrong, but in abundance of counselors, if we surround ourselves with people who love Jesus, who love his word, and we ask them, do you believe this message? Do you think this is from God? Then I'm setting myself up for victory. I'm setting myself up to be better able to discern the spirits. When I was talking with this individual I mentioned earlier on the phone, who didn't believe Jesus was God, in addition to looking at Bible passages, I asked the question at one point, doesn't the fact that the church down through history, that for hundreds and hundreds of years, men and women who have loved God, who have read their Bibles, have consistently affirmed Jesus is God, doesn't that mean anything? That the church, the people of God, the people who know God, consistently have affirmed that Jesus Christ is God. These are people who are hearing the scriptures, who love God. The community test tells me I can study the scripture for myself, and I should, but I'm also asking, what have the church through history said, and they've consistently said that Christ is God? Doesn't that mean anything? That has to mean something for us. That has to tell us something. Because the people of God listen to scripture. Be very wary of any teaching, any message, any interpretation that claims to be speaking a truth which most Christians don't believe, which Christians the world over, past and present, haven't thought of or don't agree with. Be very wary of anything like that. If the people of God as a whole aren't listening to it, we probably shouldn't either. We mustn't think that we as individuals are smarter than everybody else and finally we've arrived at the truth. We have to apply the community test. These people are listening to Scripture. Do they believe this is true? So John has given us three tests. Test the spirits, he said, to see whether they are from God. What are these teachers or messages, what do they say about Jesus? It's the Christ test. Secondly, the Scripture test. Do they listen to Scripture? Are their lives being changed by Scripture? Is what they're saying, is it based in Scripture? We have to know the Scriptures to answer that test. And finally, do the people of God as a whole, do they buy in with what this teacher, with what this idea is promoting, with what this teacher is saying? It's a community test. This will not answer every last question we have, but it will keep us from a lot of danger as we seek to discern the Spirit's leading in our lives. Finally then, in conclusion, we as God's people need to pray. We need to pray. John tells us here in this passage that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We don't have to be afraid, but we need to pray. Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians that God would give to them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. We need to pray. We need to seek wisdom from God. Solomon says it this way in Proverbs. He says, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We as God's people need to pray, to seek God's face, to ask him for his divine enabling and testing the spirits, and then to use all the means he has given us, as we've seen here, to discern if they are from God. Will we do that as individuals, as a church? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for not leaving us alone in this world. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. And God, would you help us in a day, in an age when there are so many messages, so many things that people, even seemingly good messages, that they want us to believe. God, give us your church. Give us discernment. Help us to hold fast to Christ, to not be moved from the truth about Jesus, to grow ever more in our relationship with him and our love for him. Help us to hold the Scripture, to judge all things by your word, to study the Scriptures, to follow those who are following the Scriptures. And God, help us to ask one another, to lean on each other, to encourage each other in what is true, to caution each other when we're going in a way that's wrong. God, thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We praise you. You are good, and you lead us so well. Thank you, Father. what you're doing in this church, for what you will continue to do. We give you all the praise. And all God's people said.